Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, Friday, April the 12th, 2024, 56 minutes past the hour. And we've got a special program here on WGH Talk, remembering the trip that was the Hall of Fame 2024 with Thunderbolt Patterson, WWE in Philadelphia, also a trip to Manhattan. It was quite a weekend. Matt Morgan, Carrington Nelson went with me, and this morning we heard from Matt about his memories of the trip. So I thought we'd bring Carrington in alone as well and get her memories of the trip that was this past weekend. Carrington, good to be with you. Here we go. Remembering the trip that was, just broad scope before we get into the particulars of it, what do you remember? How would you qualify the trip to Philadelphia and Midtown?
It was great. I mean, I don't think anybody can be ungrateful for a free trip to New York and Philadelphia. I mean, you know, obviously there's a few expenses, but essentially when you have the WWE paying for a lot of your stuff and you're getting to spend a lot of your other time that you're not spent doing WWE things in the way you want to, there's not much to complain about. I had a fantastic trip. We, as Scott said, went to Philadelphia. We got to watch the Hall of Fame induction for Thunderbolt Patterson and see Scott get to induct him, which was really cool sitting ringside down there. I had never been that close to a televised event, I don't think. Getting The Rock walking past us, that's a huge memory of mine. I've been showing that picture to everybody this week. I'm like, did you see the picture of me and The Rock, though? Because I'm like sadly reaching out my arm, like, Rock, high five me. And he's just like locked in on the stage. So that was an iconic moment for me. I'll never forget that from the trip. Manhattan was good. We spent a lot of the time on the subway. I feel like there was a lot of traveling, but we got to have a great dinner at Tavern on the Green, in the only restaurant in Central Park in New York City, which was absolutely beautiful. It was dark at that point, and you could kind of see the skyscrapers in the distance, and the clouds were kind of covering it a little bit. But, you know, it feels like you're in a park, but you're in the city. So that was just a really cool moment we got to all share together that I really thought was special. Scott made a point to make sure we would remember it by being like, soak this in right now, everybody. Like, this is great. And I was like, you're right, this is pretty great. We got to go to the top of The Rock and see the skyline of New York City, which we have featured here at the radio station. So getting to see that in real life was also really great. Getting to go to WrestleMania, I never thought I would end up there. I just found myself chuckling like the whole time I was there. I had never watched professional wrestling before, so seeing all of the crazy moments, I specifically remember the final match, which was between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, and then there were like six or seven guest wrestlers in the final match, and I was like, whoa, like no other professional sport brings out this many additional guests to their sporting event. So I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, it was funny. It just made me chuckle each time somebody new came out. There was The Rock and John Cena and Kevin Owens. Is that one of them? I just remember KO was his, like,
there was somebody
logo,
there. Yeah,
logo.
Yeah. I can't remember what his name was. I know The Undertaker was there. I remember
the
that.
Undertaker? I'm going to go with Kevin Owens.
Let's go with that.
KO, whatever it was. I don't know. But just seeing so many different people come out and kind of get more of a feel for what the WWE is and how professional wrestling works was really cool. We got to sit up in the luxury box with some of the legends who had previously wrestled, a lot of people who had been in WrestleMania like 1 through 10, so they hadn't wrestled in quite some time, but getting to see their what they had started kind of play out into what it is today, you know, happening at the Eagles Stadium and being this like giant televised event where like it's obviously like an honor to get to go because, I mean, the entire stadium was sold out. There's a huge demand for this. So getting to experience that in person was awesome.
Well, what I learned about the whole thing was that I don't know anything about wrestling anymore, but what I do know is their production is one of the greatest I've ever seen. I mean, you can watch football games, you can watch baseball games, you can watch hockey games. The production they put on, filling over 70,000 people into a football stadium, between the fireworks show, how much that crowd is into what's going on in the ring, there's just something about it. It's It's loud. It's engaging. They have more spotlights than I think you could possibly count. More people working. Their production values, I believe, are second to none.
Yeah, it was crazy to see in person. I mean, just I can kind of imagine what it would have been like on TV, because obviously when you watch a one-on-one match like that, I mean, or any other like one-on-one event on TV, it's going to be much smaller. I'm sure whenever you're watching it, it's going to look a lot more intimate, but you know, we're sitting far up and you can see the whole crowd there, and you can see the like giant stage they had to the right and the huge like runway they had leading up to the arena. So you can just see how big the production really is, and I feel like that's something that you're going to miss if you're at home. So getting to like witness that in person was crazy. Snoop Dogg came out at a point, and apparently he's in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Apparently.
I was like, okay, that was another moment where I was like, I just giggled. I was like, all right, that's crazy. I had no idea that Snoop Dogg was in the Wrestling Hall of Fame, but apparently he is, so that's awesome.
I just like the perks of things. I like the being brought back and forth to the arena and cars. I like going in the back door of places where people don't bother you. I like not having any tickets to worry about. I like being in a $25,000 luxury box. I mean, those are experiences, unless you live a completely different life, you're not going to get to experience.
Yeah, getting driven there and then dropped off at the special entrance was definitely a big highlight, because I remember commenting on how I thought that celebrities and such would go through some like special like luxury entrance, or like there's something where it's like all fancy somehow that they're entering and exiting through, because you know they're probably not going through the front doors and like causing a commotion there. But whenever we were going out to the cars and getting to the arena, we were literally walking through like the trash room to do that. So I thought that was really funny that it was like not super like high end, but that's like the behind the scenes, like what they would do if you know somebody that's like famous and needs carted around is like going to do, like you're going through the back and you're going through the laundry room and you're seeing all the like workers in the hallway and the areas you're not supposed to see. So I really like that. It was a cool experience you wouldn't get if you were just going to the event also.
Well, see, to me, that has always been one of the interesting things about broadcasting, is to be behind the scenes, because that's a lot of time where you end up. I remember the Republican convention years ago. There were places in that building where somebody who's just attending the convention is never going to get to go, and people they're never going to get to see. And I felt very much the same about WrestleMania, because you wouldn't. I mean, even if you bought the most expensive ticket front row to that event, you're not going to end up in the luxury box. You're not going to end up in the places that we ended up. You're not going to end up backstage. And for those wrestling fans, that they would sell their right arm to do that. And to be able to have that access was just great. And it was fun. And I enjoyed every minute of it. I had a great time doing everything. They're great people to work with. They are very positive. They're very reassuring. It's always, do you need anything? Do you want anything? If there's anything I can help you with, let me know. It's great.
They were very accommodative, too. I mean, obviously, you were the one that was requested to be there by Thunderbolt to give his introduction speech for his Hall of Fame ceremony. But you were like, hey, I don't want to do it without my posse over here. So you were able to get us in, and, you know, they were agreeing to that, where you're like, oh, and I need my two extra people there. And it's like, you played a big enough role that you also had leverage to get us to get to do that stuff, too, which, like, I'm super grateful for. But That's so cool that like they were accommodative in that way, because I mean, whenever you were giving your speech, me and Matt were down there seriously like ringside, like we were in the ring they had set up around the like Hall of Fame stage. So like that was really cool. I was like, how much money would people have to pay to sit in these seats? Because I think that everybody in these seats is like family members of people up there. So
well, I could see some of the seats, because I could see the front row seats, and a lot of them were retired wrestlers or people who are high executives. I mean, the owner, essentially the CEO of the company, was sitting behind in the front row. I mean, he was sitting in a seat with his wife.
Yeah, and then me and Matt are like a row behind him. So yeah. I was like, that's crazy. Like, how did we get like to do this? Like, that's such a cool like honor. Like, you don't get to do that. Like, if we would have been there, we bought the most expensive tickets. Like, we're not doing that. So
no, you wouldn't have been inside the barricade.
No, definitely.
Now, the other interesting thing, and I just want to point this out to people, and I did this earlier, but I think it bears repeating, because I don't want to give a misnomer here. Now, yes, Thunderbolt did ask for me to induct him into the Hall of Fame, and that's why it happened. But they would not have just let, I mean, if he would have said, you know, my friend Joe, I want him to induct me, that wouldn't have happened, because people, I think, are a little bit confused on how this happened when you look at the other inductees that night. I mean, Roman Reigns was one of the inductors. He was a world champion. The Undertaker was one of the inductors. The children, who are wrestlers of two of the guys, were the inductors.
U.S. Express children.
Who are wrestlers themselves.
Yep.
The Rock was an inductor that night. So those were the inductors. I was the only one who did not come from wrestling.
Medusa. She inducted.
Yep. Bull Nakano.
Yep.
So they were all wrestlers.
Yes.
And I was not.
No.
So what happened, I think they wanted somebody from outside of the wrestling world to do it. But also, I was the only one who didn't use a teleprompter. So I'm sure they were not going to send me out on their billion-dollar production, on their Hall of Fame, their biggest night of the year, and let me go out there and screw it up. So, you know, I mean, I dealt more with the production people than I dealt with Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
So.
But he still requested for
you. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't have happened in that way if he had not requested me. But I think there's a misnomer that he could have chosen anybody. I don't think that's the case.
Okay. I was also confused about that. A couple people this week since returning have asked me, they're like, why did Thunderbolt ask Scott to do this? And I was like, well, I know that he interviewed him in the past, that Scott used to be kind of more involved in the wrestling world. So I'm assuming it's related to that. I didn't have a great answer to give them. What's the backstory in your relationship?
Well, it's not a close one. I mean, it's not. I mean, he doesn't live here.
Right.
I mean, he lives in Atlanta. I mean, he's probably been here in the last 10 years, maybe four times.
Yeah.
So it's not even a yearly thing. He hadn't been here since 2021. I don't know where it came from. He called me one day.
Yeah.
The story, I mean, we hadn't talked for quite a while. I mean, a long time, probably 6 months, 8 months. He hadn't been on the air. I don't remember the time. And he called me up and said, you're going to be getting a call. You'll know who it is. That was what it was. And then I got the call from Ben Brown from the WWE and said, Thunderbolt wants you to do this. And I never really asked him why. I think he did tell me at one point he thought I could get it done.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if there were discussions on who was going to do it, and they finally settled on me. I got that impression at one point, but I can't say for sure.
Okay, well, if Thunderbolt is here and we get to ask him, I'm probably going to try to dig a little deeper in that and see how he came to the conclusion of, like, I need Scott Spears here to do this induction.
Well, I do know that the head executive back there, who I had not met, named Bruce Pritchard, until that night, mm-hmm. knew my name before we had ever met.
Right. Well, so you were introduced to the head executive there, I know, they said...
Yeah,
right.
There wasn't an introduction. I mean, he came in the room. We were back in the, at rehearsal, we were back in the gorilla position. And he walked in and he said, hey, Thunderbolt, hey, Scott, how you doing? I thought, how does this man know who I am? He's the head executive. And when the speech was over, as I said, he's running the show. I mean, he's the head guy. He's got the headset on and he's doing the whole thing. And as we're passing by, he took off his headset, stood up, shook my hand, said, great job, Scott. Here's our head writer, Brian Gwertz. Have you met him?
That's what I was thinking of, the introduction to Brian, the head writer.
Yep. It all happened.
That's crazy.
So I don't know why or how or what, but it was fun.
What does the WWE have planned for you? I want to know.
I don't know. I don't know that I would do anything anymore, but I mean, it was fun.
I mean, you met their head writer, the head executive knows your name, like...
I had a great time with those people.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a lot of fun. They were very encouraging. And a lot of people were a great speech. I mean, Jerry Briscoe, who was a top executive there for years and Thunderbolt's friend, went on social media, I think on Monday, the day we arrived back, and said, tremendous job with what you did with the speech. And I just think they liked it.
Following you around after, I heard so many people, you know, lean over to you and be like, oh, great job with the speech. And even in the following day, whenever we were at WrestleMania on Sunday, I heard people still commenting on like, oh, that was a great job, like great work on your speech and everything. I know before you went out, my mom had texted me and she was like, does Scott have a speech written down yet? And everybody was really worried about the writing of the speech, but you pulled it off. It's almost like you're a professional.
Almost a professional. Maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
I was standing back there and people were pacing who were going to give a speech.
I watched that.
Yeah, and they were, and it was on teleprompter, and I kept thinking, maybe I should be more nervous. I didn't feel nervous.
I didn't think you looked nervous either. I mean, you just kind of went out there and said what you wanted to say. It was kind of like you were not talking to Thunderbolt, because I mean, you were talking about him, but it did not give the vibe of giant 22,000 live audience, I would say.
I just loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was excited doing it. I had fun coming out there, walking the aisle. I just loved every second of it. I thought, this is fun. And I didn't know what was really going to come out of my mouth until it did. I knew I had two quotes that I wanted to put in there, but that was about it. And I didn't know that till about an hour before the maybe 2 hours before the Hall of Fame itself.
Yeah. I remember we gave the guy the quotes like an hour or two before you were going to go out there. They were like, I don't know if they had already started the other inductees' speeches at that point. And you were like, oh, hey.
Yeah, it was
pretty close.
Can you
make sure those are up there, please? Like,
don't want to misquote somebody.
Right.
No, but I was fine. I loved it. And I don't know how it came off, but whatever.
I heard you came off a little pale.
I was a little pale. I understand. When I was riding back to the hotel, I heard I was pale. A little pale up there.
Pale. But besides that, I think what you said came across well.
Well, and I do want to say, because this is one of those behind-the-scenes notes, as I was standing back, because we did have to wait back there quite a while from the start of the show, because we were next to last on the show, you emailed me.
Yeah.
You did?
We got separated so quickly. I didn't think we were going to be going out into the audience so fast. We were back there kind of during the first induction. Heyman, what's his first name?
Paul Heyman,
yes. We were back there, and we kind of got sat out in the audience, like, during his induction situation, which took about an hour, so that's why it was kind of a whole situation, and I didn't realize we were going to be leaving you. I was like, oh, I got to say good luck. I mean, this is a big thing. This is a big deal. Like, I was really happy for you. That's awesome.
Well, you said very nice things, you know?
From the heart.
Well, you know, it was like, break a leg. You're a great broadcaster.
Yeah.
You got this.
I mean, you deserved it. I was like, you're here for a reason. I mean, they didn't just pick some guy off the streets, not Thunderbolt's friend Joe. So, yeah.
Well, it was fun. It was fun. And, you know, not many people have gotten to do it. There have only been 31 Hall of Fames and only 5 inductors every year. And I'm glad to be part of that list, because I think it's a pretty substantial list of people. And people who are not in the wrestling industry, I'm sure that is even a more exclusive list.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody there seemed to be part of the wrestling industry except for us. I noticed that everyone seemed to be reconnecting with old friends. It was like, I still remember us sitting in the lobby after WrestleMania was over. We were down there and we were just kind of looking around, and you'd see somebody and people would start walking up to them and taking selfies with them. And we're like, oh, I bet that's somebody over there.
I bet that's somebody. I wish I knew more. I just don't. I just, you know, that era of wrestling has passed me by.
We sat there for at least 45 minutes. We're like, oh, there's another person. There, people are taking selfies with them. And we were trying to, like, make guesses almost on who some of them were. There was a really tall, like, 7-foot guy at a point. I was like, I'm just going to lean back and ask him and be like, hey, why are you famous? Like, can you just, I just want to know. Like, I'm just curious.
No, it's a moment like that in my mind. And I did not watch the speech until last night. And the only reason I watched it was because Thunderbolt wanted to see his speech, because he had not seen it.
Okay.
So I watched it. I was okay. I was okay with it.
It was fine.
Thought it was fine.
You were like, I'm good. I'm good.
That can live on.
Yeah.
That can live on in history. I liked it. I
didn't hear you slide in a little WWGH radio.
No, I didn't slide in that. You know, I honestly, all I was thinking was, when I was up there, I thought, okay, I want to keep this to 5 minutes, and I want to get these quotes in, and I want to honor Thunderbolt in the best way I can. And that was pretty much the job I wanted to do.
Which I think you did. I mean, you kept it concise, which I think at midnight, 1 o'clock, whenever we were getting done with things, everyone appreciated that. They were like, you know, we got the message, we got the idea of it. I think Scott spoke well, and it got to the point. So I thought it was good. I enjoyed it.
Well, and I got to introduce by the New Day.
The New Day, yes.
Me and the New Day are like this now.
Yes, they were Kofi. That was one I remember. He came up and shaking hands and talking and chatting us up. Like, they were very nice.
It was all very nice. And then New York.
And then New York. Yes.
Yes, New York. We went to a lot of places in New York.
We
did the Top of the Rock, as you said. We did Rockefeller Center. We did the Plaza Hotel. We went down to the Soho area for a cookie joint.
Yes. I'm sorry if that took away from our day. I was really excited about this.
No,
cookie.
I was fine with it.
I was asked like a month in advance where I wanted to go in New York, and I was like, cookie place.
And we did it.
And we did it.
We did it.
My heart had just been set on it for quite some time, and we were able to slip it in there. It was Funny Face Bakery, if anybody's curious.
They had a lot of interesting cookies in there.
They did. I'd never been there before, so I didn't realize what it was. Online, it just said that they had like the best chocolate chip cookies in New York City. And then while we were in there, I heard the girl telling one of the customers that like that's what they were known for. And I was like, perfect. Like, this is where I wanted to be. I'm at the right place, because I wanted to get a great chocolate chip cookie, which I did. It was fantastic. I enjoyed it. It was worth the trip to me. I don't know if it was to everybody else.
No, it was fine. I thought it was interesting. And then the Tavern on the Green, as you said, which I really enjoyed. I thought it was the right way to wrap up that particular day. And I do believe it was one of those moments where I take it in, because this isn't going to happen again exactly this way. You know, it was just a very unique moment.
Yeah, the ambiance in there was really nice. It was super, like, candlelit, light. Yeah, I don't know. The environment was really nice. They had a lot of glass walls, so you could see out into the park and see the skyline, which I thought was really nice. The waiter was really nice. The food was great. They kept bringing us bread. I had two pieces. That was great.
Well, the way you guys eat your bread, oh, mercy.
Fork and knife?
Fork and knife. When you are in a classy joint.
Fork and knife?
You fork and knife the bread.
The bread?
Yes.
I don't know. I can see where I was wrong in the bite off of the baguette.
You guys treated it like it was a hot dog bun.
Yes.
You sliced it down the center like you were going to put a big old hot dog in there.
We sliced it down the center to butter it up.
No.
And then we just bit off that baguette.
No. See, that's not Tavern on the Green, Midtown behavior.
Right, but then you said you're supposed to tear, which I adjusted once I was like, okay, you're right. I can agree with that. But fork and knife for bread.
What's wrong with fork and knife with a bread?
I don't know. That was funny. I took a picture of you as you were doing it because I was like, that's
hilarious.
You
thought that was a thing. now that we're back and all has been settled, what was so funny about that?
No, there was nothing. I mean.
Oh, you thought it was just comedy galore. You took a picture of it.
I did. I was like, this is good. This is good stuff. Because it's like you're eating a steak or something, you know, like the fork is pressed into the baguette. You've got the knife. You're cutting down the side like just like you would a steak, but it's just a baguette.
Because it's bread.
Yeah,
you're in a classy joint.
The rip-off was good, I thought.
Then when that chicken came out, you guys were like, you were at the old Colonel's.
I didn't know what to do. There was a bone in the chicken. Are you supposed to pick up chicken and just eat it with your hands at that point? What are you supposed to do? Just keep going?
Get your knife and fork and cut pieces off and eat like a civilized human being.
It was a lot, though. It's like we had a chicken leg, and there was like a thigh, and there was bones in it. Like, if you're at KFC, and you get that, and you have to...
This ain't KFC.
I know it's not KFC, but I'm just describing what the chicken was like in the sense of, like, we've got the bone and the thigh, and, like, those are the pieces we've got to deal with, and they're attached together, and it's kind of cooked in some, like, sauce, but there's no, like, breading on it, obviously, and I just didn't know what to do, because I had started trying to cut it, and then I was hitting bone. I was like, I guess I could, like, flip this over, but I was like, I just want to get the eating done with, like, I just want to eat. I don't want to play with the food.
Well, I understand that. It's just, I don't know.
I haven't been to a lot of classy places.
It showed.
Well, one time when I was younger, my parents said, like, you know, oh, what's your favorite fancy restaurant? And I said, Olive Garden. That's my favorite fancy restaurant.
There you go. Well, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's perfectly fine
That tells you my idea of fancy. I was like, Olive Garden.
Well, some people just don't, they haven't been.
I haven't. So I didn't know. I just genuinely, I don't know.
I just sat there and ate my food and thought, you know, maybe they'll think I'm like your parole officer or something. That's what I thought.
You're doing us a favor. This is like the Boys and Girls Club.
That's what I thought.
Big brother, like little brother situation here.
I'm being a mentor for these
people.
You're
helping us out, yeah.
And then we got in the car and we drove back to Philadelphia. And the next day was WrestleMania, which was a lot of good audio, I thought, came from WrestleMania.
Yes, I haven't gotten a chance to listen to that back. I talked about how I've been kind of busy the past couple of days. But yeah, I think we did a lot of really good recording stuff. I'm excited to hear what it sounds like whenever Cody Rhodes wins
that's the clip I want to hear.
Yeah,
because there was excitement in voices, there was excitement in the arena, the background of that has to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be like when you listen to that segment, you got to turn it down for sure.
Because I could barely hear you, and I was sitting right next to you.
Right, and I mean the rest of the time, whenever we had talked, we would just talk in regular volume, like, and we were talking louder as the people, you know, were loud in the background, and we could still barely hear one another. So I'm sure it's crazy on the microphone and insanely loud.
My favorite picture from the trip is of you and I and Jimmy Hart.
Yes.
Because we're in this box, and Jimmy was in the middle of eating his hot dog bun and dressing.
Yes. Mayonnaise, dressing, hot dog bun.
Yes, he's a very light eater.
Got at least two of those. And his cookies in his see-through purse that he was carrying around.
He took a couple cookies. He lifted a couple cookies out of there. I didn't know he was supposed to do that, but he did.
He was a character.
I loved it. And I love that picture because I know exactly what's going on during that picture, and it's funny.
Yeah. It's so awkward. I had gone off. I was like, Jimmy, let's come on. Can we take a picture? And he was like squatted over in the photo. And then he's like pointing at us with his thumbs. And I was like awkwardly in front of him. And you're kind of behind him. And like, I cropped our legs out of the picture because I was like, you know, the legs just really accentuate how weird this photo is. But
that's next year's Christmas photo. Oh. That's a good photo. That's a really nice photo.
That's, yes, that'll live on. Similar to the rock photo for me. Like how...
You had those moments. You had those moments on this trip.
Yeah. There were some great photos to come out of it.
I was pale, though.
But you were pale.
I was pale.
You should have gotten a spray tan before.
I should have spray tanned.
Always dissing Botox. On the spray tans, but...
I should have done... I also learned that apparently on this trip, I do not eat and I do not sleep.
No. Which I had already kind of gotten that. I vibe, but I was extra aware of it here on the trip. Definitely, you don't need to eat or sleep. You're crazy. I'm not convinced that you're human sometimes. I'm like, he's not eating, he's not sleeping, he doesn't cry. Like, what does this guy do? Like, he's like a machine.
But no, I mean, I also don't think I'm like a bubble off, you know, like most people are groggy or, you know.
No, I remember waking up and you're like sitting there in your clothes, like ready to go. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, we went to sleep at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Like, why is he just awake right now? Like, we should just sitting there. Like, aren't you tired at this point? Like, you're an awake kind of guy. That's for sure.
Well, I think I like what's going on.
Yes.
And I'm ready. And I don't know. I don't know why that is. I don't know. I think that's part of the secret to success. I really do. I think it's that I have endurance.
Dang it.
You know, I can get there before other people, and I can stay later than other people, and I have that, I don't know what that is. I don't know where that comes from.
You do those things. I've firsthand witness here. I'll vouch for anybody that doesn't believe it. You're not eating that much. You're not sleeping that much. You're go, go, go.
And we did a show.
Yes.
From Philadelphia.
Oh,
that was a good show.
Yeah, I never got to hear it back, but I mean, we were kind
it's
of...
It's in the archive.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so we had heard... Well, we were just talking a lot about what was to come because that was before the Hall of Fame induction. So we just had a lot of like hype around what we were going to experience because we just didn't know how it would be. You know, we hadn't gone on the backstage car ride yet. Well, you hadn't at that point.
No, you went right after that.
To the rehearsal. We were hoping to meet The Rock. I mean, that didn't exactly play out, but you know.
Close.
There's a lot of conversation about The Rock before this.
Yeah, it was very close.
So close.
You know what? I figure now I have no reason to stop because I have a very good relationship with executives in that company now. So as far as I'm concerned, the sky's the limit at this point.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like nothing ever, they haven't hit you up yet after you've gone home?
Well, no, we've talked.
Okay.
We've talked.
Okay.
And I also thought it's kind of interesting if they ever come to Ohio, it will be so easy now to know exactly who to go to if I just want to go, you know, peruse something.
Yes, if you want to go peruse a wrestling event, you've got a ticket.
I've got some insights into that whole thing. And I just thought the future is very bright. As I said before we left for this event, these things don't happen, and then I come back and sign a hot dog bun. So, you know, it's just a very interesting time.
You never slow down.
I don't think I can.
No. Opportunities just keep presenting themselves. You're right.
You know, but it's the right place to be for me at this particular point. But I'm not going to go till I drop.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good, yeah.
No. People think that, though.
I'm sure have you taken somewhat of a rest this week at all?
Not so much.
No.
Not so much.
Thunderbolt has been back in Marion.
Thunderbolt's been in Marion. We've been doing tapings. I've done the radio show every morning this week. We did the Eclipse event on Monday. I was at Tony Paco's on Wednesday, and I'm here tonight. I've been teaching. I went right back to everything
the next day. I'm scared for you.
Well, but it won't be. You know what I always tell people? It's not going to be this way forever.
Right.
There will be a day where it's over.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're just doing it now until you get to that point. You said that a couple times. You said, I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Well, not dead. I mean, yes. I mean, yeah, there is that.
I think you said that.
I have said that, but okay. I'm not going to wait to sleep until I'm dead. But yes, I'll sleep when I'm dead. But there will be a point where the train will get to the last stop, and I know when that point is, and I will get off.
You always get off. You know. You're aware of it.
And nobody will ever hear from me again.
And he'll go ghost.
Yeah.
Then you're going to rest. You'll just rot away and you're...
You know, I don't know what I would do, but I know I would not come back ever.
Not broadcast.
Nope. Because I think when you have a great career, and mine has been fun, when you leave, you should leave. When it's the last broadcast, you should go.
Yeah. Yeah, like we talked about that before, when people are like having their retirement episode and then they get off and leave, and then 2 weeks later they're sitting in for someone else and you're like, you didn't leave.
Right, you gotta go.
You just took like a break. You're just gonna be part time now. Like, you're just stepping down from your position. Like,
but also it's not emotional though. I don't know why people think those things are emotional. I mean, yes, you're leaving something you like, but you did it. At some point I think you should realize I did that already.
Yeah, you feel like a sense of accomplishment. It's like, yeah, we've been there, we've done that.
Yeah, I don't think you need to keep proving yourself over and over and over and over. And I feel at this point, to my knowledge, there's only two people who have a bun at Tony Pacos, me and Mary Ellen. I don't know any other broadcaster from Marion that ever did anything on national television. So there's that. It's, you know, what can you say?
Yeah. Are you giving your exit speech right now? Or?
No, it's okay. Not time to leave yet. Time to leave yet. But, you know, it's fun right now, though, because it's not about accolades at this particular point, because this last weekend proved to me that fun is fun, and it's still fun.
Yeah.
You know, I still have fun doing it. I still have fun being in the chase. I still have fun being in the hunt. I still enjoy coming. I still enjoy doing that. You know, I think after a while, it probably does become a bear. Like, wrestling is interesting to me. It's kind of a bit of a metaphor, because there was a time where I would have known everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody now.
Right.
And I think that's when you start to say, oh, okay.
Like, this isn't my crowd anymore.
Yeah, this isn't my thing anymore. So, you know, that's when you start to say, am I as good as I once was?
I mean, fake it till you make it. I thought you did fine talking to people still. I felt a little out of place, too, obviously. I didn't know much about wrestling or the people there, but you still got to just chat them up and use what little knowledge you have to create conversation, and I thought that happened, so.
I like my tuxedo.
The tuxedo, yes. Did you take it? Or did you return it?
Well, I think I need to keep the jacket.
Right. That's what I... Yeah. So you haven't returned any parts yet?
No.
Okay. But we're still considering keeping the jacket.
I like the jacket.
The jacket was nice. It was very soft and velvety. You talked about it a couple of times, so I eventually had to, like... I was like, what's this?
I felt like a rabbit foot. I felt like a rabbit's foot.
It's like, what's going on over here? We gotta see what this is all about. And it was very soft.
All I know is, make no mistake about it, broadcasting for me is the greatest industry in the world. I love it. It is fun. It is exciting. It is a new adventure every day. You never know where you're going to end up. You never know what heights you could get to. And until you're there in the middle of that ring... on national television, looking at that camera, you cannot know. And I got in trouble this week for saying this to somebody. I don't think I've told you this story.
No.
Oh, yes. This week, I got back, and I went somewhere. I'm not going to say where, because it'll implicate the person, and they're already ticked at me at this point. But I came back, and they said, how was your weekend? And I said, surprise. And they said, how was your weekend? And I said, oh, amazing. I had a great time. And I said, how was your weekend? And they said, well, it was very nice weather. It was great. I went outside and did some yard work and great. And they said, well, tell me more about your weekend. And I said, well, it's kind of hard to explain, you know, to somebody who went out and picked up sticks all weekend what I did. And
you said that?
I did, but I...
Oh, my gosh. Scott.
I didn't mean it in a nasty way.
Ooh.
No, here's what I meant. Now, hold on. Here's what I meant. It's hard to... I pick up sticks. I'm not immune to picking up sticks.
You're not above it.
No. It wasn't like that at all. It was... I cannot... Okay. As I've said many, many times, some people are perfectly happy with the normal nuclear life.
Yes.
Good for you.
Yep.
It's different. I can't tell you why it's different. I can't tell you how it's different. I can just tell you anybody can go have a husband, a wife, or kids. It can be done. Nobody can just walk in the door and do what I did the other night. It's hard to explain that to somebody. You can't explain... Because you don't want to diminish what they've done.
Right.
But you also can't say that it's the same thing. Because if I wanted a kid, I could still get that done. If they want to do that, they're not just going to walk in the front door. It's not going
to
happen.
No, you had to work to get where you are, right. Obviously.
And it's a different feeling. And you can't explain that to them because they have never experienced that. It just doesn't work that way.
I mean, you can experience the feeling, but I feel like we've done a pretty decent job of summarizing.
I can tell you about the trip.
Right.
But I can't explain the feeling to you. I can't tell you the sense of doing okay. I mean, it's very hard to...
Sense of accomplishment? Is that...
Maybe.
Yeah?
I feel okay with it.
Yeah.
So that's all I meant. And even when I tried to... Because they got very huffy about that.
Mm-hmm.
And But you think that's okay?
I could see how someone might take that one the wrong way.
What did that mean? What does that come off like?
It just comes off of like, oh, you wouldn't understand. Like, you're not, you know, we don't run in the same circles, kind of.
I don't think we do.
No, you don't. But I think at that point, they've already asked, you know, how was it? Tell me about it. So just summarizing it the best you can is the best way.
I felt like if I had went into it, it was like rubbing it in. You've told me you played in the yard all weekend.
I know, but they asked. At that point, it's like you could have like downplayed it and been like, oh, it was great. You know, we did the Hall of Fame. We went to New York.
I know this person knows. I know this person listens to the radio. They heard about the story. What more can I say?
I don't know. Give them behind the scenes.
But it, to this moment, for 4 days, it was nasty. And they continue to be nasty about it. And I have tried to say that's not what I was trying to do. I even said, I'm sorry if you interpreted what I said as a knock. That's not what I was trying to do. They said that's not an apology.
Oh.
Because I said how you interpret. They didn't like that I put that in there. So that's not a good enough apology.
I mean... You're saying that, like, you would say what you said again. Like, you don't
I
regret.
I would, because I didn't mean it in a... I'm sorry it came off that way, but I haven't had that issue with anybody else.
Right. I mean, it's obviously up to interpretation. Now that you explain it, I can see... I know what you mean, and I mean, just knowing you, I'm like, I know you don't mean it like a I'm better than you vibe, but, like, I could see how that person could take it that way. Like, oh, you wouldn't get it after... You were just at home with the family all weekend.
Well, but good for you if you're happy with that.
Right. Do your thing.
If you came and said that to me, if I'm happy doing what I'm doing, it wouldn't cause... Okay.
Yeah, you're like, I am happy, so that's good.
Yeah, good for me.
I mean, you just have to assume that they're happy too. I mean, they made the choices that they made to be where they're at, and if they have resentment about it, I mean... Nothing's going to change that, you know, even you telling them about the weekend when they asked to hear about it. I mean, if they didn't ask to hear about it and you just walked in and you were like, I had the best weekend of my life, like, that would be frustrating.
I thought that's what I, inquiring about their weekend, I thought was me not trying to be above it.
Right.
Shouldn't have done it.
I don't know. I mean, I can see how they interpreted it. The other way with the like,
yeah, but then they just got personal.
Yeah,
no, and they said some nasty personal things, which I thought were very uncalled for.
Oh no!
Oh yeah,
drama follows whenever you get on national television.
I mean, that would not. If I would have said the same thing about, you know, speaking at a school, it never would have been treated like that.
No. I don't think anybody would have asked the same way.
Nope.
No.
So that's why I felt that it was a little. You know, it didn't... I will tell you one thing that was said, because it comes off something you have said, but I think this was meant in a more negative fashion. But it was, after days of discussing this and trying to calm it down, just that one comment.
Right.
The person said to me, you don't understand feelings. I think you have a feelings problem. And anybody who cares about you, and very few do, you have a problem with.
Oh my gosh, guys are in a fight.
Not me.
Oh.
I just sat there and took it.
Yeah.
I said, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what you believe. I said, if people don't care about me, I guess they don't care.
Oh, wow. Drama follows after this. We did discuss that, how when you're presented with opportunities in a career like broadcasting, where, you know, it's obviously unique experiences where your relationships can suffer, because it is kind of something where, like, people are going to get jealous. I mean, before we had even gone, we kind of discussed jealousy and how that kind of plays into this. And yeah, we're seeing it play out now, I guess.
And I know they saw the pictures. So again, what's to describe?
Right.
So there you go. That's the bad end of it. But the good end of it is it's done. It was fun. It was pretty much everything I expected it to be and more, just because of the treatment being so nice by people. I can't imagine it have turning out any better. It was fine.
Yeah, I think it was great. I was really happy to get to experience that. Like I said, I never thought I would find myself at any sort of pro wrestling event, let alone WrestleMania 40, in a luxury box with the legends. That was awesome. Like, I probably won't ever experience anything like that again. With that specific situation, for sure.
Well, all I know is what I can say is that dream big in life. Don't keep your dreams small just because you think you're from Marion, Ohio, and you can't accomplish them. Don't do the easy thing. Do the thing that you really want to do, the thing that you think is unobtainable. Set it that high, because I'm telling you, you can get it done. And it's... you feel so different when you get it done. You feel like, okay, I did that.
See, and, you know, being somebody who hasn't really, like, gotten very far in any sort of career, that sounds so ambitious. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I believe it. You know, Scott says it, and, like, you constantly say that. I swear at least once a week whenever we talk, I hear something along the lines of dream big and, like, you can achieve things.
Because I don't think people believe that. I think they really believe that you have to be very practical now. There's something about practicality that I don't understand. So I say it all the time because I am not practical. And you know what? My choices were not practical. And when I started, I mean, everybody's got to start somewhere. Everybody used to say horrible stuff to me about, you know, that ain't really the way to go. It ain't going to turn out well. Yeah, it's a hard field to be in. Well, turned out okay for me.
I think that could also be related to the jealousy thing. You know, they're like, oh, I mean, obviously I'd like to do like something like that. But they're like, you know, that does seem hard. That's very uncertain. You don't know how things are going to play out. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people online that are going to start some sort of business or starting something and then like watching things, you know, crash and burn slowly. And you're just like, ugh. That stinks, you know? So it's just risky whenever you do something like that. But I mean, obviously, if you can continue and you're persistent through the difficult, like, downer and everyone being like, oh, that's not going to work out, it's going to pay off. So.
Well, you know what? I think everybody has some kind of... because I don't believe people remember what you say, and I don't believe people remember what you do. It all fades with time. But I think people remember how you make them feel to some degree. And some people's legacy is very... you know, something like an event they leave behind. Well, I'm never all interested in that. I mean, big deal. What I want to leave for people is the idea that you can obtain what you want to obtain. The best thing I heard all weekend from anybody, honestly, that entire weekend, was after the Hall of Fame, I got on the bus and I pulled out my phone. It was the first time I'd looked at my phone since probably 3-4 hours earlier. I pulled out my phone and I had a message from somebody that said, I cannot believe I'm watching the WWE Hall of Fame and the person doing the presenting is somebody I see at Kroger. Dream it.
Yeah.
Dream it.
I mean, that shows, you know, you can do both things. You know, if you want the practical, like, steady job, you can do that, but you can also, like, achieve other things that you want to achieve while doing, you know, the practical route. You don't have to, like, just pick one thing. So I think that's cool.
If I inspired anybody to dream big, then let that be what I was here to do. Let that be the legacy. I think that's a good legacy to have.
I know you mentioned that you got a text from your niece or nephew.
I did. Watching on television.
Yes. That has to be inspiring to them.
Both under 10 years old.
There's Uncle Scott on TV. Like, that's so cool.
Who gets to experience that? I didn't with my uncles.
No, I haven't with my uncle. That's for sure.
That's what I'm saying. If that's what, if at the end of your life, that's what they say, is that you did something that inspired me to do something, I don't think you can say anything better.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's a good goal to have, to inspire other people. Especially, I mean, we talked about this over the weekend, how you, whenever you started out, you didn't really have anybody coaching you along. I mean, most of the decisions you made and how you got here was all you just trying to figure it out yourself. You didn't have people guiding you and giving you helpful advice and, like, wanting you to succeed. So I find that even more impressive whenever you're totally left kind of in the dark to, like, figure things out for yourself, that you can still overcome that, because that's, like, the biggest hurdle in my mind. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, trying to, like, start and get things figured out, like, by yourself sounds so daunting. So
but I was also lucky.
I mean,
luck plays into it. I was lucky. I was lucky.
I mean, you can only be lucky so many times. Like,
luck.
There's
and
some strategy. You're trying.
Now remember, we've got the big Friday Night Live show coming up here, 8:15 to 10 p.m. tonight. Matt Morgan will be with us for that particular program. But to put a cap on this, how will you remember this four-day period?
This is the closest I've ever felt to a celebrity, so that might be how I remember it. I mean, getting the backstage experiences was so cool. Whenever we went to New York City, we had parked near Phil Donahue's penthouse, and Scott had been messaging him a little bit. We didn't end up getting to go see him, but just the fact that it was like, oh, you know, we're kind of here on business. It's like, it's not just like all leisure and stuff. I think that was cool. I haven't really been on many trips where it's like, oh, you know, you're here for like reasons. There's a schedule, like you have to do this and that. And like, you've got the like, oh, work trip environment. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah. It was a fun trip. I hope you had a good time.
I did. Thank you so much for letting me come. I'm really grateful.
It was a fun trip. And I'm sure we'll be talking more about this in the weeks to come. And stay tuned. This was a lot of fun. For Carrington Nelson, Scott Spears, recounting the week that was Philadelphia and, of course, New York.
Manhattan.
Manhattan, Midtown. What fun it was. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Made in Marion. That's right. With the Huber Company manufactured road graders and road rollers that were used all over the